Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Peace and love and black power. What's up, family?
What's going on?
Mufasa Ra, Love Lachey, and Brother Kevin coming at you with another edition of Collective Minds Radio. How y'all doing, everybody? What's up?
All right. All is well. We doing good. How everybody doing out there? Collective Minds Radio. We back. Coming right back at you. For real.
Yes.
What's going on, y'all? Go ahead.
Yeah, everything is all good. You know, I got to admit, I was mad at my two co-hosts because they left me for dead. And they went out of town and left me here in St. Louis all by myself to fend for myself with all these wolves and vultures.
I don't know why you knew he was going.
Right. Why did he come? We knew this a long time ago.
Exactly.
On the trip.
What's up? Tell me about it, y'all. I know y'all got some shout-outs and touch us up real quick on y'all trip, how things went before we dive in our conversation.
All right, that was a good
trip.
Great trip.
That was a good trip. It was fun. Like, give a shout out to the comedians. They did the thing.
Let us know where you went. Let everybody know where you went. Where y'all went?
We went to Chicago. So Aries Theater, Aries Crown Theater in Chicago, the venue there. We did a comedy show with Corey Holcomb, Earthquake, Sarah Underwood, J.B. Smooth, D.C. Young Fly, and Jeff Nash. So shout out to all them.
Shout out to D.C. Young Fly and Jess Nash. They did a drop for CMR, too, for us. So special thanks to them, to D.C. Young Fly and Jess Nash. You know, shout out to Corey Holcomb. And, it was a great show, man. It was a good show. A lot of people. Chicago came out, did their thing.
I'm glad y'all held it down. Maybe next go round, you know what I'm saying, I can get there and have my face in the place. Because, you know, I like that. I'm my cat.
Right.
So that's what's up, y'all. So if y'all didn't know, today we was going to talk about what is your perception of God. You know, we talk about God, and some people have a perception that God is a man. Some people say God is a spirit. You know, you got different belief systems and different explanations of what God is. So we wanted to talk about that with each, amongst ourselves and with you all. If you want to call in, chime in, we'd appreciate if you let us know what this word, this term God, what is it to you? What is God? So, who want to throw out their explanation first on what is God and what is your perception of God?
Who ready? Yeah, can I go first? Y'all mind? Get this out the way real quick. Okay. So when we talk about real quick, but I'm gonna try to do it real quick, right? That's right. So what is God? The God concept. First of all, we got to ask ourselves, like, where did this come from? You know what I'm saying? And I say it comes from the man. You feel me? From the mind of the man. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people's concept, like you were saying earlier, Mufasa, a lot of people's concept is God is a man. You know what I'm saying? God has emotions. I would even break it down to say most people think God is a white man. and especially in the, I say in the Western Hemisphere, you know, where we have the United States or whatever. And so when you think about it like that, people are putting human qualities on what they are calling God. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what I think the God concept is real quick, is everything. You feel what I'm saying? There's nothing that is outside of God that doesn't have that vibration. You dig what I'm saying? Even inanimate objects like your desk, your chair, the phone, all these things, if you break them down to the molecule, have moving and vibrating parts. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are actually live things that are actually vibrating when you break it down to their molecules and the cells. You feel me? So I look at that as being part of God. The air we breathe, even though we can't see it, you know what I mean? It's like it's the atmosphere, but the oxygen is actually a molecule that is actually alive and vibrating. You know what I'm saying? It's like the fish in water. We don't notice the things that's in the air, you know, that we're breathing, but these are things that are actually alive. So there's nothing outside of God. You know what I mean? God is in people. God is in, like I say, inanimate objects down to the very last cell. And there's a book called The Science of Oneness that breaks a lot of stuff down by Malcolm Hollick. You know what I mean? So I just want to give a reference out to the family. If you want to do some research, it's called The Science of Oneness by Malcolm Hollick. But it gives like a view of the God as basically wholeness. Like everything is part of God. You know what I'm saying? Like the universe is 95% unseen. You feel me? So that only means 5% is visible. So you can count all the planets, all the stars, the moons. Like, when you put all that together, that's still only 5% of the universe. You feel what I'm saying? And the other 95% is either dark matter or dark energy. You know what I'm saying? Which they don't really know what that is. But, you know, I conclude that that's melanin, and that's what makes the universe. It's the mind, it's the chaos that makes up God. You know what I'm saying? From my point of view. But I'm going to leave it right there. Basically, God, to me, is everything. Like, there's nothing outside of God as far as the human mind. Like, we can get into that later. But the concept of God is everything. To keep it plain. So I'll leave it right there for now.
All right, Brother K, that's what's up. What's up, Lovely Shay? Give us your opinion. Break it down from a female standpoint.
Okay. Well, that was some interesting things that Brother Kevin said. And I, you know, the perception of God is mainly, you know, we perceive things based off of, you know, what we think. Or what we believe, or what we, you know, what we look for, you know. And I'm going to say, let me just clear something up. I know you guys may have heard me say this before. The reason that I always recommend to not just myself and kids and family and little ones, but to everybody, to not get so attached to things, because what end up happening, it causes you to kind of stray. Sometimes it's okay to say you don't know. That's when you get your answers. But when you feel like you already know something that you don't know, then it stops you from obtaining and getting the truth, because you have a wall there that prevents you when you feel like you already know something. So when you don't know something, it's better to just say you don't know, and let the truth, and at some point you will eventually learn the truth, hopefully. I also think one of the ways for us to seek truth when it comes to God's spirituality is to seek it within ourselves. You know, and my perception of God is basically that it's what's keeping my heart beating. It's what's keeping, you know, my blood flowing. These types of things are evidence of God. These are my perceptions of him, things that I have no control over that's taking place. You know, they're doing them. I know sometimes we don't trip off the fact that our blood is flowing. Some people don't even trip off the fact that they're breathing until they stop. You know, we take things for granted. And if we can just, you know, learn how to seek answers from within versus outwardly. Kevin mentioned, you know, the outer space and things like that. Some things I definitely agree with. I think he made some good points in regards to the outside. And I want to take a pause real quick. We have some callers on the line. We have some callers on the line. I want you guys to hold tight. We didn't forget about you. We will be getting the callers soon. That's all I was gonna say, Mufasa.
Yeah.
So basically, let me get back to my point. I'm gonna wrap it up really quick. We have some people that we want to allow everybody their perspective on this. So really quick, I'll just finish up with some things that Brother Kevin touched base on as far as the outer space, things like that. And those two, a lot of the things that you mentioned, Brother Kevin, is just hearsay. We don't know. And I think that's always the safest way to go when you don't know something. When you have not experienced something for yourself, let's just say you don't know, because you called out a lot of things. Those are the things that people have told us and you may have read, you know, but to get, I think, to get more answers that we see.
Well, what did I say specifically? Now, what did I say specifically about outer space? I'm saying you can see that when you look out of space, you can see that most of it's dark. You see twinkles of stars.
Everybody, slow up.
It's not a battle. We ain't boxing here. We just providing information.
Right, I know.
And then we can,
this is a battle.
It's a battle that you're the provoker. Okay.
Oh, this
so
is
I'll stop
a battle.
I know we got other people we want to be able to get the opportunities to hear this point of view. So I'll just leave it there. I can always come back later.
Yeah, I'm going to go real quick, because as I see right now, the black woman is God. Did you see how Love Lachey just sliced and diced me up, y'all?
This is a fact.
She said relax. I am sorry. Hold up. Let me get my composure. Well, listen, I'm going to say this real quick so we can get into this discussion, because all three of us probably see this a little bit differently, and I know the caller's probably going to see it a little bit differently too. So all I'm going to say is I've studied a lot of different traditions. As I'm currently, I lean more towards the African Kemetic spiritual tradition, which in that tradition they say that God is only one being in existence. There's only one being in existence, and that being is God. Everything in creation is an expression, law, particle, or element in the body of God. So when I say that there is only one being in existence, and I'm giving it that word God, but I know people put different words in there. They may say Allah, they may say Netter, they may say Buddha. When we got all these different terms and words for what I call the all, the everything. The creator evolved from an original state of being and willed itself. This is my, like I say, leaning towards a Kemetic belief system. That the creator evolved from an original state of being referred to as Nu and willed itself into action, creating an explosion of intelligence, energy, and matter. The creator's transformation is a journey of evolution through space and time, and was never viewed by our ancient African ancestors as some kind of single male father figure that's sitting on high and looking down on low. The Creator was instead viewed as pure intelligence and power, coming into existence to experience and gain knowledge of itself, which is creation. Creation is the Creator in action. I'll say it again. Creation is the Creator in action, living and learning through its own creation. We are living, breathing expressions of God on that journey to learn. So that's the direction I've been leaning towards. That makes more sense to me, that God is not a man, but God is, this term God is just creation. So passing it back to you, Love, to say, you want to open up the phone lines and get some callers' interpretations on what God is.
Yeah, because, I mean, you said, you definitely made some good points.
I mean, that's what I was saying, but I wasn't as eloquent.
The Creator. Yeah, no, I agree that both of you guys made a good point. The Creator, the creation, to me, is the Creator of the creation. Well, let's get a caller here. Let's take caller 314-755. Caller, are you there? 314-755.
Yes, I was listening to the conversation about God. And, of course, generically speaking, that's a big word, generically, because everybody claims to know God or else believe in God or some superior being of God. And I come to recognize from the Bible, and I guess you can guess that I am religious in the sense that I believe the Bible, because when you talk about truth, we have been confused about what truth is. We lost our way. And some people are calling wrong right and right wrong. We lost our way to see and know what truth is. So I take my truth from the Bible, because it mm-hmm. never failed me, and it has always proven to be right. And there is no error mm-hmm. in it. People say it is, but they can't prove it to me. They can't prove and show me any error. John 17:17 says, St. John's of the Bible, King James Version of the Bible says, 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Jesus claimed in the 14th chapter of St. John, the same book, the 6th verse, that I am the way, not a way, not one of the ways, but the way. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, ultimate reality. If you're going to measure truth, you have to measure it not by your standard, because you don't know what it is, but by my standard.
Correct. Carla, let me ask you this, Carla, real quick. So what does the Bible say God is, or what is the perception of God, I guess, from
according to the Bible?
According to the Bible, yes. There we go.
I can only give you John 3:16. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
So wait, hold on, wait. Let's slow down now. Who is John? Explain to the callers who is John, or who wrote this passage, so we can understand.
Okay, the author bears his name. St. John wrote it. One of Jesus' disciples. He was also an apostle of God. He was called that, and he received the word of God, and he testified of it, and he spoke of the truth that this truly happened, because he was one of the eyewitness. Matter of fact,
Do you have a timeline of when he lived, or around what time, like first century AD?
They lived around 30 AD.
30 AD. Got you. Okay, good. I was just doing that for the listeners. Good.
No, that's okay. He recorded what he saw and what he heard from our Lord himself. Now, if you believe in the Bible account, then you, which some do, maybe some don't, it's your choice. But I believe the Bible account that God became a man for us, that he might pay the ultimate price for our sins. And that he indeed became a man, and he died the death for us to take our place, that we might have a right to eternal life through him. And he that believeth on him should have everlasting life. And the scripture said in John again 17 that whosoever believeth not shall be damned. The same chapter actually in John 3:16, that would be your
perception of what God says
of God and truth. God and truth. Because
I got a question for you real quick. Now, when you say God became a man, so what was God before he became a man?
Actually, he became a man. He became human flesh. He was still God, still the same. But he became a man for me and your benefit.
So before he became a man,
because
God
can't die. He's a spirit.
There you go. So that's all.
John 4:4 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people don't know him if you don't know what I mean when I say worship him in spirit and in truth. So a lot of people claim to know God, don't know him. They don't have the spirit to know him.
But you are saying that God was, from your interpretation, that God was a spirit first before it became a man, correct?
Right. He's still a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He never left being a spirit, even when he became man.
Gotcha.
So all the other men that were here before Jesus... So the other men that were here before Jesus were not God?
They were flesh and blood, man. All men
came from
one
blood.
But Jesus was flesh and
blood as well, remember, because Jesus got killed or was nailed to the cross.
He was flesh and blood as well, right? Right. He had to be flesh and blood, but he was the only perfect sacrifice of the perfect man that never sinned. All of us have sinned except him.
Gotcha.
And in order for him to atone for us, you can't be in the same boat we in and then expect for us to be all saved. If a boat has got a hole in it, it's drowning, we all in the boat, then we all going to drown. Somebody have to be separate from us, because if we all in the same boat, I can't save you and you can't save me. So it's got to be somebody who come down from heaven who became man. So God became a man like us to save us, but he didn't sin.
So question,
but
I got another question.
He couldn't
question
save
for
himself,
you,
though. He couldn't save himself.
He didn't
so
come
how
to save,
can he
himself?
Save us.
Hold
he
on,
didn't come
let me
to
ask
save
this question real fast.
He came to save us. He didn't come
so
to
Colin,
save himself.
But Colin, let me ask you this. Are you saying that, so just to make sure I'm sure, okay, God was a spirit, and then God...
God is a spirit.
Okay, God is a spirit, and you
That's
say
right.
that God made himself human, correct?
He clothed himself, yes, in human flesh.
So when you say that God made himself a man, when you say the word himself, do you believe God is a masculine spirit?
I say that God is... See, when you look at the term masculine, are you trying to say man? That's mankind. Mankind, that's woman too. See, man and woman, they the same. There's only one thing that makes them different, and that's the feet part.
Gotcha. So
and that's
you
from
say
the Greek, which is
fetus.
He can carry, she can carry you. Good.
So when you say himself, you're not saying God was a masculine spirit, because you understand that God is woman and man in the spirit.
Yeah. See, there is no woman and there is no male and female in spirit.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? In spirit, there is no male and female.
Yeah, I'm following your perception. I'm following your perception quite well.
Yeah. There is no.
Okay.
But truth, when it comes down to...
Hold on, let's bring another caller in real fast and get their perspective on this. Area code 609-815, area code 609-815. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hey,
caller.
Thanks for calling in.
What is your perception of God?
Well, I'm just going to go by the truth of what the Bible says. God is a spirit, and God found no one else greater than himself to believe in himself, and that's why he became a man. Okay, there's no debate and there's no argument on who God is, and we shouldn't be debating on that. God's spirit, in order to know who God really is, you have to be born again and born in the spirit. And your spirit meets God's spirit, and you'll know exactly who he is.
Now, you say you have to be born again. What do you mean by that? You have to be born again.
You just like when Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus said, should I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, you have to be born with the spirit and with water, blood and water. And that's what they mean. You be baptized down into water, and you're born into God's spirit, and you become a child of God. Okay.
Let me ask you something, Carla. Yes. Let me ask you something real quick, because my argument was that there's nothing outside of God, and God is in everything. So would you agree with that as far as God is in everything, or there's nothing outside of God?
It all depends. What you mean when you said there's no? What you mean there's God is everything, nothing's outside of God? I don't quite understand that.
What I'm saying is God is a part of everything that we see or that we don't see. Everything.
It all depends what you mean when you say everything, because God is not part of everything. Now, God did create everything. He created Satan.
Right, and he created the stars and the planets, right?
Right.
He created the trees, the stuff that we make our houses and we make stuff with, like the metal, the... God created all that, right?
Where God created things and man was able to use it to do what he
Correct.
Did. God gave us a free will. If we choose that we want to build our house or we want to live in the street and have nothing, we do have a free will, and he gave us that free will. When you say God is in everything, I don't quite understand, because God is not everything. When a baby gets sick, that's not God. Okay, so I'm not going to say he's in everything. So you have to really clear it up and tell me what you mean, God is in everything. Because a lot of people blame everything, sickness and death and all that stuff on God. All of it's God's fault. It's the nature, it's the mother nature and all that. But God is not in that. Satan's out there destroying. It says Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy.
But then God created Satan.
God created Satan,
right.
But he gave us a free will. He didn't create robots. He created persons to have their own free will. They choose. So you choose.
Correct.
You can choose life or you can choose death. You choose.
Correct.
And it's up to you what you do. If you choose to do like Satan did and listen to what he's saying, then you choose death. If you choose Jesus, you choose life.
So, Carl,
correct. That's what
something.
I was saying. God was is okay. Go ahead.
Let me just say, I'll pass it back to you, Brother Carol. I do want to ask her the same thing I asked the previous caller. So, because I keep hearing you also say him and he. So, do you feel that God is a masculine energy, or do you think that God is female and masculine energy together?
I think God is both, because he's God. He's both. He created, he's both male and female. And a lot of times, human beings are male and female. That's why you see a lot of guys or women going the other way, because they're all confusing with who they are. Because he
Correct.
Did create you as a human. And you, that's
Correct.
Like I said, you choose. You choose what you're going to do, what you're going to do. Right or wrong, you have the authority to choose what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so would
ma'am,
you have
I
a
agree
problem
with that.
With me saying, would you have a problem with me saying, instead of how you saying that he and himself, would you have a problem with me saying itself when I say God and I'm calling it when I say itself? You wouldn't have a problem with that, would you?
I wouldn't have a problem if you calling him an it if you make that a nice it, because he's not an it. Would you want someone to call you, hey, it? No, you want someone to call you an it. No, I don't think you should call him. If you're going to call him anything, call him God. Don't call him an it, because he's not an it.
Right. I just have a problem when people say he he, like they know that this that God is a he, a man. You
God
what I'm
did
saying?
Come down as a man. He really he made himself into a man,
but that's
and I
Jesus.
Think the reason why.
But that's Jesus.
Listen, listen. The reason why I think he is a man because not that a man is over a woman and more controlled, but he said Jesus the head and the man. Jesus the head of the church and the man is under the Jesus, and that's why I think he did that. But he didn't do it to say, "Oh, woman can't be like that." But it's just that he gave men a little bit more authority than he did women, although we equal with the man. And I'm not taking away because I'm a woman too, and I feel that I'm just equal to do anything as a man. But he gave him a little bit more authority than he did a woman. Okay.
Let
and
me
not
say
that
one
we
more
the weaker
thing.
Sex. Okay, go ahead.
Let me say one thing. I'm gonna pass it back to you, Brother Kev.
Go ahead.
You only thing, Carla, you had confused me a little bit because at first you said that you recognize God as being feminine and masculine. But then you turned around and said that, and you said that God was a he again, and that God is a little bit more.
Well, no. Well, I didn't say God
Let's clear that up
was
for
a he. I said that God made Jesus into a man. He didn't put a woman there instead. That's what I'm saying. God is still God, regardless of what we do and what's happening. He's still God. But he came as a man. When he presented Jesus in this earth, he did that.
Okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brother K, did you have something else?
Indeed. Oh, no, I'm good. That was the call was making some good points. I was just trying to see if she agreed with my point as far as is God part of everything? Even you know, if he created Satan, the bad, the good, the world, the physical world that we use, you know, to make things, so. That was just what I was trying to see, if the call agreed with that or if the Bible said anything about that. But,
Right.
Yeah, thank
you,
Carla. We appreciate that.
We'll have Pastor Jones online, too, if he had any questions or wanted to elaborate on what the call is saying.
Okay, yeah. Well, he, like you said, if he did create all things, good, evil. He created the devil. He created Satan. He created all things. But he created
right.
it all in its order. What Satan did through free will. That's what the word.
You're breaking up, Colin.
The word, the Hebrew word for created is Ray, which means he took it out of, it was in an order. Everything was in its place. He tampered with it. He tampered with evil. He grabbed it from out of his domain, out of his place, his own place. Everything God said had its own category, and it had its own place.
Okay, now, go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off, but I do want to make a point and get a response. Okay, now this is what I would say, because I know Brother Mufasa was saying that, you know, everybody keeps mentioning he, and we have this concept of God because he came down as a man, so he's masculine. Now, this is Brother Kevin speaking. I say there's no balance in the religion because we need the female or feminine energy to go along with this religion. So, in other words, is God ever going to come down as a woman to bring some type of, you know, some type of balance
to the situation?
Because there's a lot of masculine energy within these religions, and it shows because you can tell how the world is very aggressive, very violent, very hateful, which comes from a aggressive male type of energy. You see what I'm saying? The feminine energy would add balance. So, let me get a response to that. How do you feel about God, like Mufasa said, God being both masculine and feminine? And I think that needs to be more portrayed within Christianity or the Bible.
Let's go back to the beginning here so we can understand. And I think I know what you're saying. Let's go back in the beginning. The Bible said, in the beginning, the first verse, Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God. The word God is translated because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew.
The word God there in capital letters, G-O-D, is the word translated Elohim. The word Elohim is in the in the male gender. It is in the male gender. It speaks of God being in the male gender. It is a singular form of the male gender. Now that's what it speaks about. That's what the Bible says about God being God, the Elohim who created the all that is the self existing being. Nobody knows where he comes from. Nobody knows why he was created. He doesn't disclose that information. But he's all-powerful. We do know that because he created man in his own image. And we was the first to be made. Man was made in the image of God.
Right.
And so that's why we keep referring to as he. The balance is
correct,
not that, that he. The balance is not that because if he be the creator, he don't need anything to balance him.
Right.
He
Psalms 82:6, doesn't it say ye are God?
82:6.
Psalms 82:6. If you look at Psalms 82:6, then you're reading the small g. It has not the capital G, but a G-O-D, small G-O-D, which is not
right,
God
but see,
in the
now,
sense
now,
that.
Now,
but
now that's playing
not,
games
not
because
in
both
sense
of the words
no,
of God.
It's not playing games. It's not playing games. No, it's trying to let you know that you came from the image of God. That's all. It's not trying to play games, but the image
correct
was lost when we failed. It's not playing games. It's only trying to let you know that you came from God. And as we say, if you are God, for you are the children. Then read the rest of the verse says, for you are the children of the Most High God.
Correct. Correct. Got it.
So my question,
indeed,
another question I have for you, going back to God in its original form, and you guys know from, like I said, it's Mufasa Saint talking. With me saying itself is because I don't like to put a male or female energy or title on what I consider to be the creator of all. So when we go back to God in its original form, what would you say that God was? Would you say God was just a infinite thing in space? Would you say God was nothing? Do you see God as a man in space?
The past,
or do you see God as
God
an infinite?
It's not prevalent. Not God was, God is. See,
my
there is
God
no past and future in God.
Well, I'm saying
God
in its
is
original form. God in its original form. What was God in its original form?
He was
can you
spirit
fathom what that means?
A spirit. He was a spirit.
He was a spirit. In his written form, he's spirit.
Right, he's a spirit.
Gotcha.
And I want to say one more thing. When we talk about the beginning, you have to remember he created Adam. And Adam was both male and female because he took the woman out of Adam. So he was
that's
both
true
male and female, and that's what God is, male and female. So we can't take, oh, he's a man, or he's a woman, or he's what this. He's both male and female.
So you say that,
but he's a spirit.
So you say that God created Adam first, correct?
He did create. I'm not saying he did create Adam first.
Okay, so Adam was the first human being on the planet, correct?
Yes, he was. Yes.
Okay, with that being said, and I got to ask the question, and you may get a chuckle out of it, you may not. But this is a question based on your faith.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And what you believe. If Adam was the first human on the planet Earth, do
mm-hmm
you believe that Adam had a navel?
Had a what?
A navel.
No. I have to have what? I don't think I quite
a belly button.
Understand
he asked about a belly
Adam
button.
Adam have a what?
A navel, a belly button.
Belly button, a navel.
Oh, a belly button. I don't know. I only go by what the Bible said. The Bible didn't mention what was up under his clothes, so I don't know. The only thing I know, he was male and female, and God took the woman out of Adam.
Yeah.
And made
so
Eve.
If Adam did not have, Adam didn't have a navel, and God took Adam's rib and made woman, what's the purpose of us having navels to this day?
Well, one of the purposes is for women to when they carry babies, they need that biblical cord onto their navel. Now, I don't know about a man, but I know about what a woman needs. And men and women almost made similar to each other, almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he made a human.
So I'm just throwing something else into the equation here. Wouldn't
okay,
it make more
okay.
sense that that would be? Wouldn't it make more sense that a woman came first?
No,
because
no.
anything that came from the woman was still attached to her umbilical cord, and that's how we all still have umbilical cords. Like if the man came first and the rib came out the man, I'm just curious of why things ain't still that way. Why? How do we all of a sudden switch up to have an umbilical cord?
I don't think you do have one. I think the men just have the neighbors there. I don't know what's the purpose of it because I never looked into it and didn't see. Maybe I'll look into that. I never looked into that and see what the reason why we have that. Just like anything we have.
We have it for the mother to know.
It must serve some type of a purpose.
Yeah, you said it right the first time, Carla. You said...
For
the mother to nurse the child. That's why we have it. And this is why I would argue that the woman had to be the first being on the planet just based
on you
the
have to go
science.
By the woman wasn't the first one on the planet.
No, but I'm saying based on the science and based on the anatomy of the people, the makeup, the woman would have to be first in order to give birth because a man can't give birth.
No, that's why God made Eve. He didn't wait until somebody gave birth. In fact, a woman can't give birth without the man. I don't care how she tried, what she do, whatever they do, she still
but
can't
Mary
give
did.
Birth without the man. So, with regard to what's happening, she can't
Mary
be the first one on
the
earth because she still can't give birth without the man. You have to realize the baby comes from the man. The woman only houses the baby. She doesn't have any blood or connection, only to house it and take care of it and nurse the baby and happen to be born. That's all she does. She
Correct.
Has a house for the baby to live in. The man is the one that really creates the seed. So
Adam
we need
didn't
the
have
man
a house.
First. Huh?
Adam didn't have a house. No,
he had the house. He had the whole Garden of Eden. He had the whole thing.
And then what was Eve's house? And what was Eve's house?
Adam, what you mean? Adam created her house. Adam came
Eve.
And he built her house.
I know, I'm saying, but Eve's house was she just got ripped out of the side of Adam. He just ripped her out. A bone. Ripped
no,
bone
he
out
didn't.
The body,
God
right?
did that really perfect. He didn't rip anybody out. He made his plan was perfect. He created a woman and it was a perfect plan. He didn't just go and say,
Correct.
Shoot, I'm just going to make
agree.
A woman. No, he did not. He had all this plan. He did it wonderful. If Adam had it, not listened to it, well, he claimed the woman did it and he listened to the woman. But he was the one.
So, look, I sound like Love Lachey was going to chime in on something earlier. What was you going to say, Love Lachey?
No, I'm just asking you, what did you say?
What's
see?
The background noise? I heard some horns.
Can
somebody mute your phone?
My phone ringing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, where did you get that? Can you mute that? There you go. All right, go ahead, Love to say. What was you going to say?
No, I was just asking you a question, which I'm sure by now you don't even remember what you said. I was asking you to repeat something you had said at that time. Because I missed it, and I think it was something to do with the navel or the belly button that you asked. But like I said, I don't remember what you. I didn't hear what you said, so I was asking.
You want me to go back over that?
Well, you asked something about why did Adam have one or something like that? Because go over that.
Well, the first thing I asked was if Adam was the first human on the planet. And I said, if you believe that Adam was the first human on the planet, do you believe that he had a navel or a belly button? That was my first question, I think.
Okay.
So I ask you, do you believe Adam had a navel or a belly button?
Do you believe Jesus had a navel? Do you believe Jesus had one?
You asking me? I'll answer your question like this. If Jesus existed as a man, then yes, Jesus would have had a navel or a belly button.
And the only reason why he had one, because he came from a woman.
That's right.
Okay, that's why he had one.
So who was?
But you know what? Satan doesn't have one because Satan wasn't born. He doesn't.
So
have
did Jesus have a father?
God is his father.
So how did his Jesus' mother get impregnated?
The Spirit of God, by the Spirit.
So, but not by intercourse.
No.
There was no sexual intercourse.
The Holy Spirit told Mary she couldn't have nothing to do with man after Jesus was born.
Brother Kev, you got something to say on it?
No, I did. I was just saying.
You want to
what point was I making now?
No, I was going to ask,
Yeah, so what
not,
I was saying,
not
right.
Being
since,
created by,
since,
by being created not by sexual intercourse. Immaculate.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Right. Jesus was an immaculate conception. So I was thinking that it's possible that the first woman could have also had an immaculate conception and been the first being and then gave birth.
Yeah.
You know, to everyone
what
else.
What did I see? There you go.
But why
how,
you
now,
want
what,
to change,
how do y'all feel about that?
But why do you want to change the Bible? Look, read what the Bible
no,
says.
I don't.
The Bible is truth. It's the truth. The people try so hard to make God out of a lie. God can't lie. Whatever he says is going
right,
to come to pass
anyway.
If he says
God
a
can't lie,
dog,
but
man
can lie.
Like a dog.
Yes,
man,
ma'am. I agree. I agree. Yes, and man wrote the Bible, right?
Well, they was inspired. It wasn't just men on the street.
But they could be lying. They could be lying to us. You know, this is so. What I'm saying is, it is true that you cannot make God a lie. I agree. We on the same page. You cannot make God out of a lie. However, we do know that men lie, and like the other caller said, there was only one perfect being, and that was Jesus. So if we know men lie, it's possible that these, you know, we could have been lied to, you know, by certain people.
Do you know what? The only way you're going to realize that the Bible is true is being born again and have the Spirit of God. Let your spirit meditate on the Word of God. Let
correct.
That spirit get into your spirit, and y'all both communicate with each other. And he will reveal things to you. You don't have to guess.
Correct.
He will reveal what he wants to reveal to you.
So, Carla, how do you feel about people on earth who have never read the Bible? They don't know about this Bible. How are they supposed to know about getting baptized and all these stories about Adam and Eve and stuff? They just, you know, living the life that the Creator gave them.
But you know what? It's kind of hard for men to believe unless you're in the backwoods of the country, because they have so many evangelism out there, so many prophets, so many people that's going into the world and teaching people, and churches are everywhere. If a person don't get into the world, you have to choose. You have to choose if that's what you want. You can't make a person believe what they don't want to believe. And it's kind of hard because people going into the back in Africa and all them other places, they're going in the backwoods. Even some of the Muslims are turning over to God and believing God. But you have to be, like you said, you have to be exposed to it, but you have to have an open mind. You can't go in here with your mind all closed and say, well, I'm not going to believe anything they say. They can just talk if they want. I'm not. I know what we did. I know what we do. I know I did this myself. I built this house.
Right.
I did that. And nothing else you could do. You could try to convince them, and you could tell them, read the Word, meditate on the Word, and get your spirit with God's spirit. That's all you can do, and pray for him.
Correct. Indeed.
I don't, personally, he's asking about Adam Hanlon. For me, it doesn't matter enough to even seek the answer to. No one on this earth had ever met Adam. So
right. No one on this earth right now has ever met Jesus. So if you
this
think
is
about
fact.
That, don't have to go forward back as Adam. We never met Jesus.
Right.
We have to take
this
his word.
Fact.
We have to read the Bible and take his word or wherever he says true. Because you never met him. You've never been to heaven. We don't know how heaven is. We've never been up there. We've never been there. So some
this
people say
true.
They have gone to heaven and came back. But I know I haven't. And I don't think you have
right.
either. So, and I never met Jesus. I can meditate in his word and pray and all that. But face to face, I have never met him.
So, man,
this is fact.
If you don't mind, I got another question for you. And I really appreciate you being open and honest with me and how you feel and your beliefs. Now, this goes just to the account of Jesus. Because, like you say, Jesus is God in the flesh. Okay? That's
right.
That's what you believe. So, when we talk about Jesus, do you believe that Jesus had a race? What race was Jesus?
I don't believe he's no race. But we know he's born in a Jewish family. And that's why they didn't accept him, because his skin was part of olive. You know, it wasn't as white as the white people and wasn't as dark as some other people. But his skin was olive, and they didn't accept him because he didn't come down the way they thought he was supposed to be coming down. He didn't come as they thought he was going to be, this white person with blonde hair. And he didn't come like that. We know he was Jewish, and we all know some Jews are dark and some are light and some are different shades like black people. So we don't really know, but they didn't accept him because he wasn't like they thought he was going to be. I know that it says in the Bible.
So I've heard some people say that Jesus was rainbow color. And that's
but,
how
but
so
people always gonna, you can't, like you said, you can't believe people. They always going to say, have they seen Jesus? They seen him in his rainbow color? Did you ask them, say, okay, he's rainbow. What color is the rainbow? Have you seen Jesus in his colors? No, they have
no.
They have not seen him.
Now, I personally believe that Jesus was not born of an immaculate conception. I believe that if there was a Jesus, this man was born from a woman.
I hate to change it. There is a Jesus.
No, okay. Well, let's go with that. That there is a Jesus.
I'm just correcting you. There is not no words. There is.
Well, we'll say that for another debate. Let's say it was okay. There is a Jesus. Just for sake of argument, there is a Jesus. I believe that Jesus was born from a man and woman, an earthly man and woman.
But you know what? That's your belief. That's okay. Until you get into the Word of God, you meditate on the Word and ask
the Word.
The Word of God. Ask him, show me, because I'm all confused. And he revealed it to you, but you have to really be true what you're doing and get into his Word, and it's going to take you longer than a day. You can't think he's going to give you the answer in the morning. You gotta get
so
into his word, meditate word, and he'll reveal it to you. Just ask
what's
him.
The word of God?
Whatever his word says in the book.
So
that's his word. The Bible is his word.
So if we all agree that God was a spirit that created everything.
God is, not was.
God is a
is.
Spirit that created everything. It doesn't make sense that this spirit would create a book for words.
It makes sense. That's why you need to get into the word. It makes sense if you start thinking about it. It's just like you saying that some people say it when Tim Tran, the scenario.
Why are you thinking on it? Let me express this point to you. Let me express this point to you.
Go ahead.
When people are born, when a child is born out of a woman, and you take the baby and you put the baby on the mother, the baby automatically knows how to nurse. Go straight to the mother's nipple and nurses. You don't have to put words into this child or tell it that. It do what it do naturally. And the Bible didn't pop out the womb with the child. Everything that the Creator needed us to know is in us. It's in us.
But how,
this word.
But can you prove that?
Yeah.
Can you prove that that the word didn't come out with the child? Can you prove that?
I've never seen a book come out with a human. I got three babies.
Oh,
I ain't never seen a book.
Oh, you're talking about a physical book.
Yeah,
you're
I've never
a
seen
physical
a book pop
book.
Out.
Okay. Okay, I know you're talking about a physical book. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
talking
that.
About the physical book. Yeah,
well, I'm talking about
the
spirit.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the spirit.
Because to me,
when
the,
I said
spirit,
Jesus the word, he's a spirit. I'm talking about the spirit.
Right. The spirit puts everything in us that we need to know. Because we come
right.
from that spirit. We are a part of that spirit. And that's why
that's
I don't
right.
trust this, what you call the word of God, because to me, the word or the spirit put into me what I need to know. This word is created.
Well, I'm really going to be praying for you. I really am. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be fasting and praying for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Carla.
Okay.
I'm praying that you get into the word. You get into it, huh?
What's that you say, love to say?
Foster, you say that you think the word comes out with the baby, and that's why the caller says she's gonna pray for you.
No, I'm not saying the word comes out with the baby. I'm not. That's not what I'm
no,
saying.
That's what Foster was saying.
She wanted to know what made you say you was going to pray for me.
Oh, well, I was going to pray because you're a little confused, and I don't think you got into the Word of God. I don't think you read the Bible. I think you read parts and pieces of it, and I don't think you meditate on the Word and to find out if it's true or not, because you send your opinions about different things which doesn't go along with what the Bible says, and that's what I said. I pray for your understanding. To open your understanding so you can really, even you have a debate with anybody, pray for your understanding so you can know exactly what's going on, because now you think and you don't really know and you want to know.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking and they don't really know, because
they
a lot
don't.
Of people
are right.
Just,
right. And I believe
they're just going on with this book. They're just going on with what this book says. I mean, it's a lot of things that's in that book, and people just go on with it and just say they're gonna believe it. You know, some things that just don't make sense, but people just say throw their hands up and say, "Well, I'm just gonna believe it."
But people have realized the whole Bible, the Bible is true, but different people tell their different stories in the Bible. The Bible is let me see how can I phrase that. The Bible is. Is all the Bible is not about God, but most of it's the Word of God in the Bible. I can't see how I'm trying to phrase that, and I think I'm getting confused on how I'm phrasing it. But you got to realize there's a lot of different stories in the Bible that didn't come from God. He put that in there for our knowledge and so we could learn from some of the things that are happening around us and how we get caught out there. Why y'all couldn't make any noise?
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it's something to think about, but, everything in the Bible, I mean, the Bible is truth, but you have to learn how to divide the Word of God, divide it, which one is about God and which one is about man. You have to learn how to divide it.
Yeah, that's why for me myself, I just
come on, boy,
I stick
on the
with the I stick with the basics, y'all. And like I say, the basics is that creation, everything comes from creation. Okay, everything comes from this spirit, which what we all are here calling God. Everything comes from God. So if
right.
we can agree with that, all that other stuff is secondary or irrelevant. if we would just appreciate that we come from the same God body, then I think we could grow with it. When people start diving into this book, that says a lot of, like, okay, for example, when I dive into this book, and this book tells me that God killed a bunch of babies, okay, some firstborn children. I say,
that wasn't God.
She wanted
that wasn't God.
That's why I said you got to learn how to divide it.
That was the angel of death. That was the angel of death. That was created by God. Correct.
You could say it was created by God. The angel. God created all of that, but He didn't create it to destroy us. We destroyed it ourselves. Adam listened to Satan. Eve listened to Satan. Adam listened to his wife, and that's how things became all crazy and all that, because God did not kill any babies. Okay, it's a death angel out there, because we know we all die. Sometimes we die in sin and sometimes we don't. But we have to realize that He gave us authority. He gave us free will to choose which way we want to go. So you can't say God killed all those babies. I don't know exactly what happened. And so a lot of babies did die, and other people died, and everything else is being died.
Mm-hmm.
And people always say, well, why God let this happen? We as Christians can stop a lot of things from happening. But we don't. We put the blame on other people, and we don't take ownership for ourselves.
When it comes down to
indeed,
to Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't God destroy it?
No. They destroyed it themselves.
But they had free will.
Okay, you got to realize, back in a long time ago before Jesus came, because Jesus came to give us grace. So we're saved by grace. We're not under old law. And you have to realize back in them days, they was under the law. And the law is a lot different from grace. So the God created the law so people take attention to what they're doing and look at what they're doing. But you have to realize they was up under the law. And a lot of different things was up under the law. But when Jesus came, we were saved by grace. So things that happened a long time ago, we don't have to look at that no more, because we're not up under the law. So all that stuff that happened back then was under the law. And I don't know exactly, because I never really meditated on that, got into the Word, and found out what happened, because I got too much to think about what's happening now to worry about what they did a long time ago. So I haven't gotten to the Word of doing that, so I don't know exactly what happened. But I know it's the
same. Let me share some
stuff.
Yeah. Let me share
Brother Kevin, after Brother Kevin, let's get Pastor Jones' opinion too.
We can start with Pastor Jones on this concept, and I just want to throw a concept out there and get a response and get back to the concept of God. So let's just say the God of this reality that we all live in is the sun, right? The sun, some people you could say soul, but the sun, because each one of us has a piece of the sun inside of us, which is called our soul. So
no,
the sun is hold
spirit,
on, wait,
spirit,
wait, let me finish
soul.
The concept. Right.
Go ahead.
But the sun is what gives us our energy and creates this physical reality. So within this earth, this particular solar system or galaxy, I'm not sorry, but solar system, the sun is our God. Because without the sun, there would be nothing. And like I said, if you, we each have a piece of the sun inside of us, which is the soul. So when they were talking about the sun walking across water, they were indeed talking about the sun as the sun, the S-U-N, walking across the water as you can see it rise and then set. It looks like it's walking across the water. So the concept of Jesus or God in the Bible is actually talking about our sun, which is the God to this solar system. Like I said, each one of us has a piece in it. It is the light that creates physical reality. They talk about the Son of God is really the S-U-N of God. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to throw that out there and get y'all opinion on God or the Son being actually the God of the Bible.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah.
We can hear you. You
want to
touch on that?
Yeah. Well, when you talk about the S-U-N, you're talking about the physical, the material. You're talking about kind of, I hear ancient mystics kind of mixed up with it. But God has, is separate from this. God is separate from his creation. And when it speaks about the sun, the S-O-N and S-U-N is a distinction between two. One is the creator, and one is the creature. I call it the creature because it's the created by the God that created, who created all things. So you, when you talk about the Son of God, and the Bible is the plane that walked on the water, it's literally talking about God walking on the water, the Son of God walking on the water. Now, you remember the scripture says that only God in the Old Testament said he treads upon the waves of the wind. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, and it said only God does that, and then Jesus came and did the same thing, then that's equality. Because can't nobody do that but God. And this is what the Old Testament, and it's a distinction between the creature and the creator. Very distinct. The S-O-N, it's not a mystic or nothing. It's not mystical. When he said he walked upon the water, that Jesus walked upon the water, the Son of God, he was speaking in reference to the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. It wasn't a mystical. It was literally the Son of God, because it was said of the Old Testament that when he comes, he would tread upon the waves of the wind, and only he could do that. No man have ever done that, only God. And so when he was proving himself that he was God.
Okay. Now I can walk with you on that. He's walking on water. However, if this is God and he's walking on water, why couldn't he save himself from the Romans?
Because he didn't come to save himself. He came to save us. That was one of the things that one of the Roman, the Jewish leaders said when they crucified, so he saved others, but himself he cannot save. That was profound truth, because he didn't come to save himself, he came to die for us, that we might have a right to eternal life. See, when Adam sinned, we don't understand the extent of Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, he broke the law of God. He broke the law of God in more ways than one. And what happened is God gave man dominion. We had power. And dominion, we were as God. We had dominion.
Correct. Hold on. Slow down. Okay. I need to have it broken down. I'm a little slow. If he couldn't save himself, how is he gonna save us?
Well, he didn't come to save himself. He came to be the sacrifice.
Right.
He came to be
the
sacrifice that God would be pleased with. See, God was angry with us. We were under wrath because of sin, and the generation had continued, because that's why he destroyed the old world, because of sin. But he warned them through the preaching of Noah 120 years in prison, but they didn't believe him. And he was warning them then, because God is a God of righteous justice. He's a God of justice. He's a God, first of all, he's a righteous God. And if he's a righteous God that reigns over, then he will judge wrong. That's why the Bible says that we reap what we sow. That is a universal law. We reap what we sow. We won't get away. We will, even if you get past man's law, you may get off in man's law with murder and everything else. But you will stand before the bar of God one day, the judgment of God. And every man will, all of us. And we're going to give an account for the things that we do. Because he gave it to us. We have choices we can make. He gave us a free will. We can choose to do good. Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, those three men could have done good, but they chose to be evil. They chose to have a dominant race and eradicate all the other races and all the kind of stuff. They chose the evil that they wanted to do. Not God, they did that.
This guy that you, the guy that you are referencing to, and going into your ideology, has the power to just, instead of just go ahead and save. You know, this free will you're talking about is a problem. Well, one hand, you give man free will to do this and that, but you give him free will to do something, but then if they make the wrong decision, they're supposed to be punished. That makes no sense. Why give a human free will to do something, but if they make a mistake, then they're punished for it?
Because you're responsible for it. We used to blaming, that caller was right, we used to blaming everybody else for our wrong. But you got to stand up on every tub, got to, my mother used to say, stand up on his own bottom. You have to be responsible for your own actions.
That's
just
right.
Like when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he couldn't say, well, somebody, I shouldn't have done it, or I did this because of so and so and so. So God held it. He gave him the right to choose. He had free will, and he could have chose right, but he didn't. He chose. His mind was he wanted to take over his creator. And he was kicked out. Is what I'm saying, your choices. You make the choices.
For making the wrong,
right.
And for making the wrong decision, what happens to you, according to your
idea? It says in the Bible, choose life or death.
If you make the wrong decision, even in your natural life, you go out there and breaking somebody out. You can do that. You can too.
Right.
But you're going to pay the consequences. I guarantee
consequences.
You do something even in this life, the law is going to catch up with you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
This is why I say,
this is why I say God doesn't care what people do, because
yes,
I think
does.
God
yes,
is
does.
Indifferent. No, I, because
he
God,
cares.
He's not going to stop
he
you from doing nothing.
And that's the question.
He's powerful enough to stop
everybody.
You, but
host the man.
Go ahead,
listen,
Carla.
If people to control everybody, you'd be a robot. He'll tell you where to go, what to do, and you'll be a robot. Do you want your life to be a robot? Even slaves
right,
like
one,
that.
Right,
with,
I got one question. Are you married? Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you force your wife to love you? If
no.
she don't love you, would you force her?
If I can.
Uh-huh. No,
well,
hold on. Oh. So you
yeah.
force her, then,
right?
But that's not love, then.
So you want
to love
for a
if you force her, if you pray to her and you force her to love you, then you she don't have your love. She have your forced love and forced love.
But
she don't
why,
have your love.
Why would I create her?
That's the negation of love.
Why would
if
I
you,
create
if
her?
If you pray to them wife to, and force her to love you, then you don't have love at all. You got to force her.
And I hate you. You create her with
you
the choice.
You got to force your wife to love you.
You don't create her. You don't make her love you. That don't mean you saying hate me either. She just has
yeah, but if she make the, but if she makes the wrong choice,
wife,
then I,
you,
but if she makes the wrong
her,
choice, I damn her to hate.
You said if you
see,
made your wife,
but
you said if you made her,
choice,
you'll force her to love you.
According to what y'all saying, though, if I create her and I give her the option to love or hate, that's fine. But if she chooses the wrong thing now, I'm going to damn her to hell.
I'm going to make
But look, check it out. No, you're not damning her to hell. She's damning herself to hell. Because she knows your law before you have already established a law before you made her.
The 609 you call it is saying good night.
Correct. This is my argument, though. The reason why I say God doesn't care what we do, he is indifferent, because look at the way the world is set up. The evil people and the people who make wars and do all the quote unquote evil bad things, they have the money. They have they're living, you know, in general terms, a lot of them have the wealth and the money, and these are a lot of evil people that are killing, you know, are doing a lot of harm to people on the earth. You get what I'm saying?
This is a godless world.
And these are
the
evil people that are. Exactly.
It's a godless world.
This is a godless world. It doesn't have,
but
it rejected God. They don't want God.
God is not.
Right, they don't want it.
So he don't interfere. That's why people say, well, how come God don't? Well, God gave you the choice and gave you the dominion, but you lost it, and now you want to do things your way instead of his way. You don't want God's way. Nobody want to live holy and righteous like God wanted to live. They
so,
don't want
God,
it. So he must, but he's going to judge you because he's already made the law that when you do these things, you're going to have to answer for these things that you do. He's already put, just like man has put a law in our order down here on earth, that when you do certain things, you're going to have to answer. And you got to have a lawyer on your side. And that's why the Lord Jesus came to be our lawyer. So that
but
when
that's
this,
what,
that
that's
time
what you
comes,
believe.
That's what
you
I know.
You believe that, but you don't know that.
That's what I know. Because if you believe that you're going to answer for your crimes here on the earth, then you know you're going to answer for your crimes when you die.
Some people don't answer for their crimes on this earth. Some people get away
that's
with that.
That's why I say
that
you know you're going to answer for them when you die. You're going to answer for your crimes. Brother, the arc of Martin Luther King had it right. He said the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. You're going to answer for what you do. All of us are.
That's your belief.
Well, you can get by. Like I said in the beginning, you might get by with man, but you can't get by God. You
that's
might fool me because I can't read your mind. God can. You might lie to me and fool me, but you can't fool all knowing God. He's crazy.
But being honest, that's your belief. That's what you believe. You don't know that
well,
for a fact.
Well, I know that for a fact because I know who lives in me. His spirit lives in me. Since he died on the cross and I accepted his son, he filled me with his spirit. Now I have the right view now. Because I have him inside of me. I'm not just talking about something I don't know. I'm talking about something I experienced. I have his spirit. I have a new spirit. I'm a new creation.
And how did you
now,
become a new
creation?
Now,
I was going in the old way at first. I was doing what I wanted to do, dictating what my conscience dictated to me, and I did what I wanted to do. And it was leading me down.
And then you made a choice to change your ways.
Because of him. I wouldn't have did it on my own. His spirit influenced me and saved me.
I think you can do it on your own.
The only way you can do it on your own is by the spirit. You can't do it on your own because you'll be thinking all crazy. You'll be saying, oh, this man's up. And you'll be thinking, oh, you'll never come on your own. You can't make it.
Remember I said that God is already in you. Like, that's part of my belief, that God is already in you, whether you read the Bible or not. So,
but
therefore,
you're not
I think
obeying
if you
the
wanted
God
to
that's
change.
In you. You're not obeying him, and you're not believing him. You question the book, the Bible. You question a lot of things. That's why I know he's not in you. But if he was
right,
in
saying,
you, you'll know, because it bears witness
correct.
To the truth.
But I'm saying God doesn't have anything to do with the Bible per se, because God is in everything. If there was no Bible, there would still be you and God would still be in you. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the Bible is God's word to a fallen man.
Because
remember, we don't know what truth is right now because we don't know God. We lost our way.
Well, before the Bible, there were thousands of peoples and civilizations before the Bible.
We are fallen humanity. We are fallen humanity, and we have lost our way. That's why we're struggling with what truth is. We don't know what truth is from reality. We don't know what truth is.
There's no balance.
According to what you're saying, we've been lost out. According to what you're saying, we've been lost out thousands of years ago. And we ain't going
to
never get our way.
If those who are willing to obey the Spirit, they will, because His Spirit is the one that draws you. And those that obey, when He touches your heart, you know, when you feel that heart of conviction when you do something wrong, God touches your heart. That's God touching your heart for conviction of wrong. He gives you a conscience if you have one. If some men are sure their conscience are so bad, they don't have them. They can do things, their conscience is messed up. See, we were messed up in the beginning. When we failed, it messed us up. And
when
from
God
that
made
point
us,
on, we've been
messed
God
up. Made us flawed. So now
he
God
tried,
made us
he
flawed.
Made us, he made us flawless, but we messed ourselves up by listening to the wrong person.
No,
we listened to the devil.
Then we were
and
made
we got
flawless.
Into this mess. We were made flawless.
We weren't made flawless then. We were made flawed because we chose to listen to something that didn't make no sense according to your ideology.
No, we chose it with our choice. He never take. See, God ain't like you. He won't force you, his wife, to serve him. He won't force his wife to love you, even if he created you. He gave you a choice because that ain't love. The force of love is the negation of love. That's not love at all. You have to understand what true freedom is. Then we got to look back and see what freedom really is, what true freedom is.
I would say it like this. I would word it to you like this. I would love my creation so much that I would make it not make an error judgment so that I don't have to curse it or damn it.
He loved his creation so much that he died on the cross for its creation. He came down and became a man and was beaten and bloodied up for you and me.
And what did that fix? And it fixed nothing because people still making choices.
Yeah, because you're not making the right ones. You're making all wrong choices. You need to make him your choice. And then he'll revolutionize things. But until you make him your choice, you're going to be faced with not knowing what truth is, confused about this and confused about that, because he's the ultimate truth. John 14:6 says he's the way, the truth, and the light. He's not the way, he's not one of the ways. He's not the best way. He's the only way to get to God.
He is.
Ultimate reality. And the only way man is going to get out of the predicament that they in, that Adam put us in, is that we have to accept the second man, Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And until we accept them, the world will be like that, and they will face judgment for their choice. See, God's going to punish you for what you do. He's going to punish you for what you didn't do for yourself. See, you have a chance. Every man that's alive has a chance. That's just like a man that loved a lady for a long time. I mean, after one trying to win the love of a woman, he's trying to win her love, and she keep refusing, rejecting her for his love. And pretty soon he say, I'm done. After the thousandth time, and this is what God does. He tries to draw us. He be kind to us. He spares our life from different things. He tries to call us by love and invites us to his communion and everything. And then we reject it. But then when death comes, love is finished. And that's it. And that kind of love don't return. So then your soul rolls back for his need for God. And God's not there. Because you need him now. Because one thing that makes a human need is love. We need love. We need love. But you reject it. It goes
away.
That
is another thing. That is God. Love. Love is God. That's the only thing. Love is the only emotion. Everything else is a degenerate of love, for real. But God is love.
That's right.
I don't mean it's all pretty all the time, but God is love. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, we got like 8 minutes to the live stream, but, you know, we've been having some good convo.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the callers, you know.
Yes,
thank y'all for calling in.
Yes,
and,
sir.
We got about 7 minutes. Y'all want to give some closing comments?
Well, I think, you know, everybody made some good points. For me, I still feel like my perception of God is more of a spiritual foundation than anything. My understanding or my perception of God is not as just a human being in the sky just sitting around. Do perceive God to be a spirit in the spirit form, and I do perceive God to dwell inside his creation. You know, I think what happens is we lose access to that, to the fact that him still being within us. I perceive God to still be within us. Because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, who's making my heartbeat sitting here talking? You know, who's making my blood flow through my body? You know, all these things, I'm not thinking of these things happening. They're just happening. I think that's the, for me, those are good evidence of God still being within me. When I eat my food, I just had a great dinner. Shout out to the Lent Mansion.
Just had a great dinner. And as I'm sitting here just talking to you guys now, it's inside my system, you know, working. It's doing things, but it's not my conscious thinking that's causing it to happen. All these things are just taking place. I look at it as turning into a human being. At first, when it was on the plate, it was chicken and mashed potatoes. After I ate it, it became me. Now it's me. It's me. So I look at those things as evidence of you know, God still within us. And I know we do have some people that may not acknowledge the Spirit of God, may not agree with it, may disagree and not believe in it and all those things, but the evidence of it is there within them too. You know, they can ignore it or they can be oblivious to it. They may be unaware of it, but I think this means that they have lost access to Him. They can always get it. He's always willing and ready and there for them. They can always regain that access. You know, just like with anything, when we teach our kids, you know, practice at something, you know, so you have to spend time with it. Just like when you're trying to grow anything in a relationship, you have to spend time and understand things. So I think to regain access to what we have lost access to is to be able to be still. You know, meditation, I know a lot of people may hear the word meditation and think differently, but meditation is being still, where you can hear God instead of, you know, just talking, praying. For me, I think praying more is a good thing. However, what it tends to do is you're always talking to God, but you don't ever be able to sit back and listen to His response. So for me, meditation gives you that opportunity to sit and listen to His response so you can hear Him, get His direction, instead of just talking all the time. You do all this praying, talk, asking for this, asking for that, help me, heal me, give me. And that's all you're doing. And then people wonder why I don't know what to do, because they don't never sit still after you done did all this talking and asking Him. Then you get up and start walking on your day. You don't sit still and meditate and be quiet, get some quiet time, settle your mind. People also have a misunderstanding of when all these thoughts and stuff that they have, they think it's intelligent, you know, because they have all these thoughts. You need to have a quiet mind. If your hand just starts moving up and just start moving around while you sitting down, just that would be weird. So if your mind is technically would be doing the same thing, if you just have all these unwanted thoughts and these thoughts that you can't control, to me that's nothing. That's the same thing as just my arm or my leg just hopping around all by itself. I think, you know, if we just can get to a place within ourselves to learn about God within ourselves, I think we'll begin to get more answers. And that's all I have to say.
What's up, Kev? You got something to say real quick? We got 2 minutes.
Indeed. Yeah, 2 minutes. Yeah, just real quick. You know, I just think, like I say, God is in everything. God is the all. I know sometimes I may speak matter-of-factly, but, you know, I'm still learning. These are just conclusions and opinions that I've come up with just based on, you know, the research I have. But like I said, I'm still learning and presenting with new evidence. You know, I'm willing to take a look and change my mind. But right on, y'all, collective minds. Peace.
Hold on. Before I close out, I want to say thanks again to the callers. I really appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all insight. And may God bless you. But I want to say this.
Indeed.
From my understanding of what I've experienced on this earth, and what I've taken in is, yes, we are all a part of creation. And the Creator created us all. Creation, we are a part of the Creator, which makes us all a part of God, which makes us all the God body. We all are God. Every living thing, everything on this planet, everything in the universe, we are all God, all connected together in the God body.
Right.
So let's start on that. Let's meditate on that, on being a part of the God body, and then reach out further before we go to talking about the he a man and he a woman and sent the son and all that stuff. let's just try to be a part 15, of God's body and appreciate that we all are part of God.
Okay, 15 seconds. Pastor Jones, you want to say something in the last 15 seconds? 10 seconds, okay. Thanks, everybody, for calling in.
Thank y'all.
Check us out next
Thanks
week.
Thanks to the listeners, supporters. Yeah. Collective Minds Radio. We're building. Do they know?